Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this June 23rd. Glad to be with you. Thank you to Pastor Jessica for preaching last week, allowing my family to get away for a little vacation. But I'm glad that you are with us. Hope you're having a good summer. We've had some fun times together already this summer at the church. We had VBS going on yesterday. We had a wonderful zoo day at the Lincoln Zoo. If you joined us there, thank you for coming down. We had a good time there. We got coming up here on July 4th. We have our big barbecue, free for the community, and we do it at the Waverly Community Center. It's right after the parade, and so it's 11:30 to 1:30. Come on down. We have free pulled pork sandwiches and all of the fixings for lunch there. If you would like to help out with that, if that's something that you're interested in maybe helping with, talk to myself or my wife, Carrie. She's helping to organize that. We have sometimes about 500 people come through the line and get that, and it's a great way to meet people from our community and let them know about our church and then also just give them a free meal for the day. So if you're interested, let us know, or just join us there for lunch. The other thing I wanted to mention is that we're right in the middle of camp season, and so every week here at the church, we have different pictures made up of different kids from our church who are going to camp that week, and we ask that you would pray for them. And you can take one of those pictures, and it tells what camp they're going to. And you can put it on your fridge or something and pray for them each night when they're at camp. Maybe even send them a note there at camp if you really wanted to surprise them. We're just hoping that this summer be a great summer for kids' growth in their faith. And so if you're interested in that, we have those cards, prayer cards, that are there in our foyer. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me over to James chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 13 to 17 today. James 4, 13 to 17. And we're going through the book of James this summer and learning more about what it means to put our faith into action and to really live out what we say we believe. And this is a good one today. It's James 4, 13 to 17, and it says this. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make some money. Why, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're just a mist that appears for a short while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, but all such boasting is evil. For if anyone knows the good that they ought to do, but doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So, kind of funny story here to begin. We got back on Tuesday night from family vacation, and I wasn't feeling the greatest. Both me and Matthew, we caught some cold bug there that final day. So I went to bed early that night and woke up in the morning and went over to my dresser and closet, got out my clothes for the day, took a shower, got myself ready in the mirror, left the house, walked over to the church and made a cup of coffee and began working on my sermon. And I probably spent about an hour or so working on it and studying and everything, when for whatever reason, I just happened to look up at the wall and the clock said 2:15, which means I probably had gotten up at 1 a.m. or something thinking it was morning. Now, I don't remember another time when I got up without ever looking at the clock. I just had gotten up and wasn't even thinking, I guess, just assumed it was time to go. Could have sworn there were birds singing outside and the sun coming up, but it wasn't. It was the middle of the night. Once I realized what time it was, I knew why I was still so tired. And so I closed up my computer and I walked back over to the house for a few hours of sleep, feeling like an idiot. I don't know if you've ever done something like that. And I had to tell you that, even though it has nothing to do with my sermon at all. But I just thought it was just a funny way to begin my week. Well, this morning I want to talk about the will of God and why it's so important for us as Christians to care about it, to seek it, to pray for His will in our lives. For we're going through this book of James, and our section for today is really about seeking and submitting to the Lord's will, recognizing that God is really the one in charge of life. And so as we go about our business and tasks for the day and make our plans, we really should be considering, you know, Lord, is this your will? We should be humble enough and not presume that what we have planned or want or will is good. James says, look, you who say today we're going to do this or tomorrow that or next year this, that's like bragging about what you are going to do, when truth is you don't even know what's going to happen in your life tomorrow. What is your life? You're just a passing mist, he says, that appears for a short while and then is gone. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we'll do this or that. What's James really getting at here? And what is the Lord's will? This scripture reminds me of the attitude of the people of Israel when I am organizing our trips over there and I'm planning out our schedule of our days and I'm very ambitious. We're going to go here, we're going to go there, we're going to squeeze this visit into and so forth. This is what we're going to do. And now make it happen, Mr. Guide. You know, in my head, I have my plans of what we're going to do for all these days. But when I share those with our Israeli guide, or, you know, setting up things with a Palestinian shop owner for the next day, I'll often be so bold to say, we're going to be here at 2 p.m. tomorrow. And they will politely, with a smile, always say back to me, if it's the Lord's will. It just rolls off their tongue. They're always saying it. I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. If it's His will, we'll see you next year with the next group. They submit their plans to God. They recognize things can happen that we're not perceiving yet, and that the Lord is over all, and He also has a plan. And so they don't presume they're in charge of it. Like Proverbs 16:9 says, we can make our plans, but it's the Lord who determines our steps. The point James is making is not that we should never make any plans, but that we must not leave God out of them. I get the picture in James of an arrogant business owner who acts as if he is God, and he's making all these plans about what he's going to do and how much money he's going to make and what he's going to have at the end of next year. He's just got it all, as if he's the king of the universe. He acts as if he's the master of his own destiny, and things are going to be whatever he wills them to be. It's an ego. But James says he's arrogant and boastful and needs to humble himself and realize he's not as big as he thinks he is. In fact, he's just a passing mist on this planet. Everything he has is only by the grace of God and can come and go as the Lord pleases or thinks best. He ought better to humble himself and live his life respecting the Lord, including the Lord, and seeking the Lord's will and saying, if it's the Lord's will, we'll do this or that. Well, this got me thinking. Do we know what the Lord's will is? What does that phrase even really mean? I think God's will refers to three things in Scripture. First, It refers to the great eternal plan and purpose of God, of which he will complete. We talk about how the final page, has already been written. God has not left this world to chance. He is over it. The word used for will in this context refers to that big picture will, the plan of God, from creation to redemption, what he's working towards. He is over what happens to you and me and this whole earth. He is sovereign. Everything begins and ends with God. It was within his will to create man and woman and you. If God didn't choose to create you, you wouldn't exist. You are only sustained by the air that he gives you to breathe every day. You have as many days as he has chosen for you to have. It was within his will to be in a relationship with you. You wouldn't know him if he didn't make himself known to you. It was within his will to make a people for himself. The covenant he made with Abraham and then Moses and David and the prophets. He had a plan to draw all people to himself, to bring about salvation, and he would complete his plan upon that cross and resurrection. This was his will from the beginning. Darkness and evil could not overcome it. Salvation in the name of Jesus being preached to all nations is part of his will. It was his will to give us his word to guide our steps and to make it possible for every man, woman, and child here to know him. It was his doing. It was his will for the church. There's no church apart from him. It was his will for the Holy Spirit to dwell within all believers. It was his will for people to go forth with his message. It was his will for Jesus to return someday and take us to an eternal home in heaven to be with him forever, where there's no more crying or mourning or death. There is a big master plan, a kingdom to come, a will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is God's will, and God oversees it. It will happen. He is sovereign. Even though we have free will within it, nothing happens that he is not over, that he does not allow. Nothing can stop his purpose, his plan, from being completed. So first, when we talk about the will of God, we first remember the big master plan. But second, the will of God also refers to the very specific plans and purposes that he has for you. I read a great line this week in my study of the will of God. It said, the will of God comes from the heart of God. Isn't that great? His will is his heart's desire for your life. The Father's love for you to know him and to walk in the fullness of who he created you to be and the plans that he has for you, which are good and our hope and a future. I think of the story of the woman at the well. Jesus knew her broken past before she showed up that day. He already knew everything about her. No one had to tell him. Why? Because he is God, and he had watched over her life every day from the beginning until that moment. And so when he came to that well, it was on purpose, that she might know him and that he would save her and release her to be all that she was created to be, to open up her eyes, to bring forgiveness, to bring joy back, to bring freedom and a relationship with him and a brand new life. And our Lord did the same thing for you and for me. Before we chose him, he chose us. He worked in my life from day one, carrying out his purpose. He opened up my eyes and heart to see things a little bit different. I was just a bit different. I always have been. I always thought myself special. I don't know why. I am not saying that I'm special. I am not greater than anyone, but I always felt special because I always felt seen by God. I could sit in my room and talk with him and feel that he was talking back to me. The closeness that I felt to him when I would pray And I would say sometimes, Lord, do other people have this kind of relationship with you too? Because it seems so personal. He knew me. He seemed to make things happen in my life, open doors and want me to do things for him. I felt like I had this inside connection with God. And I know that might sound strange, but it's just how I felt. I now know this was the Holy Spirit, and he desires that same intimacy with every believer. Others have told me similar things. They feel that closeness with God too. In every sadness or trial, I felt was on purpose. I don't know why. So many people poured into my life, and God has given me so many experiences, opened so many doors for me, and so many times he saved me when I begun to wander away, and I can see the love of God in my life and how God is determined to see me walk in his will. He has things he wants me to do, and he invites me to participate with him in doing those things. And I believe this is true for everybody, not just me. For Jesus told his disciples that they were going to do what he had been doing and even greater things than these. I love Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, where it says, "It is by grace through faith that we have been saved, not from ourselves. It is a gift from God, not by our works, so that no one can boast." And then it says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do." We are God's handiwork, his creation, created by him to do good works, which he himself has prepared in advance for us to do. All of that is personal. So when thinking of the will of God, we first think about the big eternal plan of God for the whole world to redeem it, to bring about justice and peace and salvation. But then second, we get real personal and we see the Lord has a will for our life, a part for us to play in his big plan. And he wants me to know him and to walk with him and to do the good works he has prepared for me to do. And so for you today, you can question and you can pray, Lord, am I living your will? Am I spending my time and energy on the things that you want me to care about and do? Just pray that. Be open to what the personal will of God is for you. And then the third thing I think the Lord's will refers to in Scripture is the Word of God and the commands of God. There is the big eternal plan that God has for the whole world that he's caring about. There's the very personal path and part he has for you to play. But then third, there's also just the general will of God for every human being in every situation. And that is found in his Word and his commands. This is his will. For example, I know that it is his will for me to forgive and love my enemies. I may not want to, but I know it's his will. I don't have to question it or not because he's told me so. Jesus has taught it. I know his will for me is not to lie or steal or gossip or dishonor my parents. I know his will for me is to worship him and have no other idols. His will for me is to be faithful to my wife, Carrie, in body and heart and mind, and to love her as Christ has loved the church. The Lord has told me this already, written it for me out and read even in the Bible. I don't have to wonder what his will is. His will never goes against his word. To know his will, I just have to open the Bible. I know his will for me is to give to the poor, to care for the orphaned and the widow, and to guard my tongue, to control my anger, to love my neighbor. This is God's will for me always. This is why it's so important to take time to be in his word every day. For when I read the Bible, I'm learning the will of God. It is written for me. He has given it to me that I might know him. I see within the Bible not just his great big eternal plan, not just specific details for my life situation, but often what I get out of the Bible and prayer is the general will of God for all people everywhere. Paul said in Romans 12, 1-2, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your spiritual act of worship. Don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then it says you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. This verse is saying that we have to be intentional about not conforming to the world's thinking and values and priorities, but to be transformed in our minds by the Word of God. For then we're going to be able to know and do the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. I need to fill my heart and head daily with the purposes of God. So these are the three things the Lord's will refers to: the general great plan of salvation that God has for this world, second, the very personal specific plan he has for your life, and third, the general will of God for everybody written within his word. But then after that, I thought about Jesus. Did Jesus ever teach about the will of God or show us anything about how to seek the Lord's will? And I thought about two examples that Jesus does and gives us. The first one was when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. It says in Matthew 6:9, he said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread," and so forth. In teaching the disciples how to pray, Jesus taught them to pray for God's kingdom to come down to earth, his great and eternal plan for this world to be seen and advanced, and that his will would be done on earth like it is in heaven. His plan for my life and yours and our kids, we pray for that. We're to pray for God's will for them. To not just pray for what we think we want, but to seek and to pray for God's will, his best, his created purpose, his good and pleasing and perfect will in their life or situation or our church or at work or even just this day. God, may your will be done on this day. God, we want what you want for this earth to be just like it is in heaven. We care about your will for this church, not just our preferences. Change our heart, oh God. We care about your kingdom coming over all this world and everyone in it, that you want to know you. We seek your kingdom first. We want to be a part of what you're doing in this world, reconciling all people to you. We want our life to matter, to live for you in your glory, that in the end of our life, we wouldn't feel like we wasted everything you gave us, but that we completed that which you had given us to do. Lord, may your kingdom come first in me and then around me, and may your will be done first in me and then around me. Jesus taught us to pray for it. The problem in sin, I think, of the arrogant business owner in the book of James was that he was only interested in what he was willing to happen. He was making his plans, leaving out God, bragging about what he could do. And James is saying, hey, step back, humble yourself. It's God's will, not yours, that really matters. What is your life but just a mist? Seek him and his will for your business and your family, for his will is good and pleasing and perfect. Jesus taught us to pray for it. But then second, Jesus gave us the greatest example of what it means to live it. For Satan kept trying to tempt Jesus to do his will rather than the Father's, but Jesus wouldn't go there. The crowds kept trying to make Jesus in who they wanted him to be instead of what he was there to do. But Jesus wouldn't go there. Jesus told his disciples in John 4:34 that his food was to do the will of him who sent him. This is what Jesus was always focused on. And in the garden on the night before the cross, Jesus was with his disciples praying. And he prayed, "Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But not my will, but yours be done." I think we learn in this that we can ask God for our desire. Jesus said, "Father, if it's possible, take this cup." Sure, Jesus would have preferred another way than being nailed to a cross and taking on the weight of all the sin of the world. But he didn't want his way more than God's way. He was surrendered, resolved. Even if it meant personal suffering, he was willing. For he trusted God's eternal plan was best. And so for the joy set before him, he endured it. He knew it meant salvation for you and me, so he was willing to go. And this is a good example for us. Sometimes the will of God is difficult. The way is hard, even just hard to understand. But God is always good and his will is always perfect. And sometimes we just have to surrender to it and trust that it is. And he will help us do what we must. He will give us the strength. Jesus is our example. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, "Consider him who endured so much for your sake, even to the shedding of his own blood. Fix your eyes on him so that you won't grow weary and give up." The will of God isn't always easy, but it is best. So Jesus taught us to pray for the kingdom to come and God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus gave us the example of surrender to the will of the Father, even in the face of suffering, because he loved God and us more. Two final quick thoughts on this scripture and the Lord's will. First, I've learned a lot from so many people in our church. One thing that came to mind this week for this sermon was some words I had heard from Andy Drake. During COVID, all our plans were kind of thrown out, and there were things we wanted to do but couldn't, and other circumstances, and Andy was always pretty calm in the background, and I remember one time he pulled me aside and he said this, "Flexibility is key. Things don't always go like we want, but God will accomplish his purposes." And that has stayed with me. I am a planner. I get anxious when things go rogue, you know? I think I know what is best and I chart the course, and that's not all bad. But when things don't go my way, what then, right? Can I adapt? Can I go with the flow, go with God on whatever he's going to take me on? Can I trust in his way? Can I see that God, you know, might be working here in a plan other than my own? Can I trust that his will is going to happen even when my plans don't? Because my God has a plan and it's overall. So maybe it's a trust thing. Maybe it's a comfort just to know, like it says in Romans 8:28, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Even if our plans don't happen, it doesn't mean that God's will isn't happening. He is working. He's working things out for our good and others' good. Can I trust that his will is better? Even in this, maybe it's a faith thing. Maybe you see I'm not so different from the arrogant business owner in James. You know, maybe I too make my plans and don't always think about God. I have my will, my wants, but God has his. Maybe they're different sometimes. Am I willing to hold my plans loosely? Am I willing to surrender my plans for his plans? Am I willing to humble myself? Remember, I'm not in charge, and live more like my Israel friends, saying, "If it's the Lord's will, we'll do this or that." And then the final and only other thing I wanted to mention about our scripture today is the last verse, which I find so striking. It says, "Therefore, if anyone knows the good they ought to do, but they don't do it, it is sin for them." And this verse is referring to the boasting and the arrogant scheming of the business owner. It's implying that he knows what God's will is and he's still choosing to move forward in his. And James is saying, this is sin. It may not be breaking a command, but if you know what God wants you to do and you don't do it, it is still sin. Which means that sin is not just doing bad things, but it's also not doing good things. Now, we all fall short in this every day, and it's a sin we're forgiven for, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't be more aware. And James is saying, if you know what God wants, do it. If God puts something on your heart, If God is asking you to serve or to give or to walk across the room and speak to that person about him, and you know it's his will, then go. Go in his grace and strength and spirit and see God work in your life. Lay down your plan. Lay down your fear and fully surrender to his will for your life, that eternal big picture plan that he has for this world, and also that very personal one that he has for you, and then that general will that is found in his word. Pray for God's will to be done. Seek his will. Surrender to the will of God, for his plans are not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. His will is a good and pleasing and perfect will. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.